And we're gonna do it's the third part in the series on the foundations of Christianity. Okay, and so we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 6, the first couple of verses in there talks about some of the principles of the foundations of Christianity, things that we want to get solid in our life so that we can move on unto perfection or move on unto bigger and better things in God. And so these are some of those things we're going to look at. But let's start with prayer. Father, we're grateful again to be here in your presence, here with your people, able to fellowship and to love others and be loved on by them, and also to be here to love you and to be loved on by you. And Father, I pray that today as we learn more about faith towards you and what it entails and what it doesn't, Lord, that we are just changed from the inside out to live a life of faith toward you. And that, Lord, this will be just a catalyst, something that will help us to get there. And I pray you for these things and thank you for it right here and right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So faith toward God. Okay, it sounds like such a simple, basic concept of Christianity that it would seem like it would hardly even need to be taught on. Because as Christians, of course we have faith in God, correct? Right? Everybody have some faith, a little bit of faith in God. Okay, we have faith in God. Yet faith is something that is very often misunderstood. Okay, it is kind of misused. Okay, I have faith that I can accomplish something. If the faith is in us, we're misusing it, right? Okay, or it is misapplied. Okay, where we are trying to apply our faith, but we're not quite applying it in the correct way that is going to accomplish the most things. Okay, yet let me just start with an example. I'll help making this a little more sense. Has anybody ever heard of that old, it was an old Christmas movie that came out many years ago. I think it was 1947. And it was called The Miracle on 34th Street. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, and I think if I remember the gist of it, is kind of a guy that fills in for a Santa Claus. I'm not a big Santa Claus guy, but it's kind of a cute movie. The guy fills in for a Santa Claus at a Macy's or something, and in the course of it, he does very well, and people love him, and so Macy's kind of puts him on as their guy for, you know, the store. And as it goes on, he starts kind of believing that maybe he is the real Santa Claus, and other people start thinking that about him. And so, long story short, he kind of ends up having to go to court, okay, because they're trying to prove either this guy is insane, or they're really wanting to know, is this really the Santa Claus, right? Is this really the guy? Because he was going by the name, whatever, St. Nicholas or something like that. Okay, and so that's kind of the gist of the movie. But in that movie, there's a very well-known line that was spoken by a young lady named Susan Walker, where she says, I believe, it's silly, but I believe, right? And that, right there, those words give us a pretty good example of how faith is often portrayed in our culture as sort of a blind leap, okay, into the dark. Kind of like you believe, but you don't really know why you believe, right? I believe. It's silly, but I believe. She didn't know why she believed. She just knew that she kind of did. Okay? Now, that kind of a view of faith really does not line up with the kind of faith that the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, faith, according to the Bible, is not irrational. Okay? It is not silly. Okay? In any way, shape, or form. It is not it is not a blind commitment, okay? It is not an arbitrary feeling of closeness to God. That's what some people think faith is. You've probably heard the expression before. Anybody ever heard the expression, love is blind? Okay, that's where people are so in love that they just kind of look past all the faults or look past and they don't really see it. Okay, well, that love is blind may be more true than what a significant number of Christians out there are still believing. And that is that faith is blind. Like we just have kind of a blind faith that we don't really know what we believe, or we don't have something to believe in. We're just stepping towards that in faith. Okay, now if you picture a kind of a debate between like an atheist professor, okay, at a university somewhere and an unsuspecting Christian student, okay, inevitably in a conversation like that, it is going to sway around to the professor asking the student, so let me get this right. You're saying that you believe in a God without evidence, and that's what faith is? Okay, and the student, how would they respond? Maybe you've heard this kind of a conversation. They would say, well, yes, that's why it's called faith, right? I've answered that way. Okay, she might say, or the student might say, you know what, I just believe without any real basis for my belief. Okay, so then I ask you, is faith something that is a belief without any evidence? Okay, the answer is no. We actually have an abundance of evidence, okay, for what we believe as Christians. Okay, belief without any basis for your belief is like the kind of faith that Susan Walker described in that movie when she said, it's silly. Okay, that's belief without any foundation, or belief without any evidence is irrational or silly kind of faith. To think that you have faith without evidence is actually to think the way that an atheist thinks you think. Okay, now see if you can follow this. Anybody remember, even in God's Not Dead, they talked about a guy named Richard Dawson. Okay, he was an atheist, right? Very well-known, outspoken atheist. Well, he wrote in a book that he titled The God Delusion, that a supernatural creator almost certainly does not exist, and that a belief in a personal God qualifies as a delusion, which Dawson defines as a persistent false belief held in the face of strong contradictory evidence. That's what he called a delusion. Dawson went on to say that faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is, he said, a belief in spite of, even perhaps because of, the lack of evidence. That's the way an atheist thinks about you and your faith. That you are applying faith in a God that you have no evidence even exists. And that based on that, they can say that your faith is irrational. It's delusional. It's not even, it couldn't make sense. Okay, so that's the way that someone who does not believe in God thinks. And yet, unfortunately, there are still many Christians today that would describe their faith by saying they don't need any evidence to believe, and that's why it's called faith. I think I've answered that question. You know, talking about my relationship with God, that I don't need any evidence. I have faith. I believe. You know, something down inside of me, I just know. Okay, I've often said I know in my knower. Okay? It's something that we just know inside. Okay, but even if we were somehow to forget all the physical evidence, okay, the heavens and the earth, okay, the sun and the moon and the stars, or the procreation of animals and fish and birds, and the formation of a baby in a mother's womb, okay, that is such a miraculous thing to me. Even if we forgot all those kinds of things, the Bible itself still speaks of an even more powerful proof than any of that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some translations say it that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the convincing evidence of things not seen. Faith then is being convinced that the things we can't see, or a better way to put it would be, faith is being convinced that the things we can't see yet, things like God, like healing, like heaven, like the resurrection, that we believe that those things are indeed real. Okay, now you can certainly believe that something is real without actually seeing it. Can't you? I believe in the Wyoming wind in Rawlins, Wyoming. And I can't actually see it blowing through the atmosphere, through the air, right? but I feel the repercussions of the wind on my car as I'm driving down the interstate. I see, you know, the dust blowing across the parking lot. I know that wind is real, okay, without actually seeing it. Gravity is another one. I believe that gravity is real, and yet I can't see gravity itself. I can only see the evidence or the result of what gravity does, right? I know that if I drop something, that this gravity that I've never seen is going to do something with it, right? It's going to take it down to the ground. I know that. Okay, now you can believe in something you have not seen based on the evidence that has been presented to you. Okay, and I thought of an example. Hopefully this will make sense. It's kind of close to home for us here in our part of the country, but let's think about this. If someone gets lost up in the mountains, okay, and they can't find them, and let's say I decide that I want to go help look for the guy. Okay, now there is, in our county, there's Carbon County Search and Rescue and different groups that are going to be on it, right? That's what they do. And some of these guys are going to put together sort of a base camp where you can meet up with the guys and go help them. Okay, now if I were to go up to that base camp and tell them I'm here to help you guys with the search and rescue, I'd meet with this team, they're going to tell me what they know so far, right? They're going to fill you in on a little bit of the background. They're going to say something to the effect of, well, the guy's wife called us and said that he went out hunting yesterday morning by himself and he has not returned yet. And they're going to say, we found his pickup truck right here. That's that black Ford over there. And the footprints leading from that up into the mountains in the snow went off into this direction. And about a half a mile in, we found his hat. And then we kept going a little bit more in that direction and we found his backpack. And so we are certain that he is in this section, that he is over here. We've already kind of looked and flown planes over everything else, and everything that we have is pointing to this guy being in this particular section of the mountains. They'll tell me that he is out there in that section somewhere. Now, based on what I know so far at that point, I can go out with confidence believing that the guy is in there. Okay? There's no evidence to tell me otherwise. Everything I know says that this guy is in that particular section. And as I do, I'm going to look diligently for something I've never seen. I am going to search with the anticipation and expectation that at any moment I'm going to come up upon this guy, because I know that he's in there. People a lot smarter than me, the experts, have pointed me in that direction. So my belief that that guy is in there becomes evidence to add to all the other evidence of what they've already told me. In other words, my confidence, my assurance, my conviction, and my belief itself is evidence. Okay, that same way, your searching for Jesus, your prayer to God, your anticipating the Holy Spirit's work in your life, doing something, lining things up, putting you in the right place, all that anticipation and putting things together are evidence that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are real. Does that make sense? You may have never seen them face to face, but yet you know that they're real. Your faith is evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, something that I've come to understand about faith is that faith works with trust. Okay, faith and trust go together. My faith in God, my faith toward God is very, very real because I trust in the evidence that I have seen so far. I trust the source of that evidence. Okay, in the scenario of the guy that was lost in the woods, I trust the search and rescue experts that have been doing this year after year and time after time, that when they tell me the guy is in this section of woods, I believe them. Okay, all the evidence points to them being right, and I trust the source, so my belief is confident. Okay, now I've heard it said, and I would probably agree with this, that my faith does not have to be at 100%. Some people think, I just don't have enough faith. Let me give you something that'll really help you. Your faith does not have to be at 100%. Your faith only has to be at 51%, and the other 49% is made up of trust. It's made up of trust in the source. It's made up in trust in where that began. Okay, if I have faith toward God, what I lack in faith is made up with a trust in the source. I only have to have a little bit more faith than I do doubt, and the rest of it is made up with trust. Okay, and that's where sometimes we question, man, I just don't have enough faith, but sometimes it's the trust issue that I don't trust the source enough. I have faith, I believe, but we need that trust in the source. The trust in, for me, this is a huge part of my source, okay? And then a lot has to do with personal experience. When I saw God move, I saw God heal, I saw God do this and do that, I have personal experience. And all that points towards the source as being true and accurate, okay? And so that coupled with 51% of faith is enough to see and believe things to actually come to pass. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 is where this study began, and it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Okay, now, when having any type of a discussion about biblical faith, okay, there's one chapter in the Bible that often comes up. Anybody know what it is? The faith chapter. What is it? Anybody? Oh, pastor's wife says, it's Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, and she's right. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter, or as I like to call it, it is known as the Hall of Faith. Okay, we have a Hall of Fame for football and baseball and all these other things. I call it the Hall of Faith. It tells of the stories of the faith of some of the greats in the Bible, guys like Abel and Enoch and Noah. And of course, Abraham is known as the father of faith. He's in that chapter. And his wife, Sarah, she's in that chapter. Okay, but obviously the Bible is full of great men and women of faith from the beginning to the end. Okay, in fact, if you were to take the Bible and put it into more of a chronological order instead of the order that it's in, the very first book that they think was ever written was the book of Job. Okay? And if you look at the book of Job, you're going to see faith is intertwined in his book. It just emanates through his book. Like in the thought I caught up was like, it emanates through the book like a January sunrise on a frosty morning. It just penetrates through and it begins to warm you up as it comes through. Okay, and so the book of Job has got this written into it as from the very beginning of our faith. And that book in particular demonstrates that faith is more than just a feeling. Okay? Faith is something that is so deep rooted in a person's life that no matter what happens, you're still going to trust God. That is deep rooted faith. Okay, now another powerful book on faith in the Bible is one that was written by the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody know what that one is? James. Okay, we got a resounding James on that one. Okay. James taught us that faith without works is dead. Faith without works cannot be called faith. If you want to put it a little more... Faith without works cannot even be called faith. Okay, I want you to think about this one. Faith without works is dead, and dead faith is worse than no faith at all. If you remember, the first foundational principle of our Christian walk was not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. Faith must work. Faith must produce. Okay, faith must be visible. People say, well, I have faith, I just keep it to myself. Faith must be visible. It must be producing. Verbal faith is also not enough. Now, confession of your belief is very important. Okay, we believe in confessing and, you know, what you want to see, not what you don't want to see, because somebody's listening. Okay, God or the devil is listening. Okay, but just speaking it is not the same as doing it, seeing it coming to pass. Okay, action must follow your words. If I say, you know, God, I've got this. I don't want to offend people, but let's use money. So everybody deals with money, right? Let's say I've got a $10,000 bill, a $10,000 debt that needs to be paid. I got to pay it by the day after tomorrow. And I pray to God and I go to my pastor and my church family and I said, I've got this bill. It's got to be paid. Can we pray for it? And we do. We gather together. We lay hands and we pray and we believe that God is going to respond supernaturally to provide that debt. And then I leave. And I start calling people, hey, I got this big debt and I don't know how I'm going to get it paid. Can you send me some money? Or the next day I get up and I go to the bank and say, boy, I don't know. I just have no other way. I guess I'll have to take out a loan. And instead of acting on what we just prayed and what I said I believed, I just disquelched all that. Disquelched, that's a real word, right? I dispelled everything that I just thought of. Okay, went in a completely different direction. And that is what, unfortunately, we do a lot. We say we believe one thing, but we don't follow through on it. Okay, and sometimes it's our relationship with God that we're kind of fooling ourselves. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. I don't know why my life, you know, keeps going down this other road. Because I say I love the Lord, but I'm living this way. Okay, sorry for the conviction, but you need some of that once in a while. Okay, sometimes we got to get back so our mouth is speaking not just what we want to see. I'll speak that. I want more of Jesus. I want to grow in my faith. I want to, you know, abound in that. Okay, I also need to follow that up. And instead of watching the, you know, rated R horror movie, I need to sit down and watch a preacher on TV or something that will help build my faith instead of take it away. I don't need fear. Fear is not of God, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So I need something that will affect my power, love, and sound mind, not something that will bring more fear. Okay, whatever it is, that's kind of a side note, but you get the idea. Our action should follow our words. Not saying don't speak that stuff. Don't get me wrong. You should be speaking what you want to see in your life. We tell our boys all the time. To tattle on them, but sometimes they say something and it's negative and it's, well, I'm just never going to, you know, succeed at that. You know what? Let's backtrack that and let's start speaking what we want to see, not what we don't want to see. Even if you see something happening, you don't have to jump in agreement with it. Well, it just looks like everything's getting worse. It's probably going to be worse tomorrow. You don't have to jump on that bandwagon. You can say, you know what? Things have been pretty rough up to this point, but it's going to get better. I'm going to speak what I want to see, not what I see going on. And then start following it up. Put some action to it. Okay, mental faith. It's not sufficient. Faith must be there. It's got to be in our mind. We've got to be believing. But there must be more to it than just existing. Faith should inspire action. Okay, James, as we were talking about, he infused his epistle with faith that was mixed with everyday living. He said things about faith and giving. He talked about faith and in a way that nobody should ever look down on another person because of faith. Okay, that's a real practical way that faith is applied. He talked about how he stressed this practical experience by saying that true faith must manifest itself in works of faith. Okay, faith without works is dead. That's what he was saying. Okay, he's not saying you do these things to make God love you. That's not the way it works. That's not, if you read that, that's not what he was saying. Faith endures trials. Okay, if you remember, like Job demonstrated, trials are going to come and go, but strong faith is going to help you to face them head on and develop endurance. Okay, patience. Faith understands temptations. James started out his book, James 1, verse 2. One of the first things he said was, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." That's how you build endurance. He says, "Let patience have her perfect or complete work, so then you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting and lacking nothing." Okay, faith will not allow us to give in to the lust of the flesh, to slide into sin or to go down that road. Faith obeys the word of God. Okay, faith is rooted in God, right? We're talking about faith toward God. So if I believe God and my faith is toward God and God's word is right here in my hand, faith obeys the word of God. It goes along with it. Faith is what makes you hear and do instead of hearing and not doing. Okay, faith is what makes you to hear and do rather than hear and not do. Faith produces doers of the word and the will of God. Okay, it displays itself in those kinds of works. Faith is more than mere words. It's more than a head knowledge. It is something that is demonstrated by obedience. And it blatantly responds to the promises of God. Okay, what has God promised you? I've told you before, highlight it in a color in your Bible. Promises of God. I need something today. Oh, look at that promise. Okay, faith receives that promise. It blatantly responds to those kind of promises of God. Faith is what acts wisely. It gives us that ability to choose and understand what is heavenly wisdom and then to shun and stay away from that which is worldly wisdom. Faith is what does that. Faith produces separation from the world and submission to God. Faith provides us with the ability to resist the devil and to humbly draw near to God. That's faith. As far as the foundations to our Christian belief, faith is absolutely foundational right alongside of repentance. Remember last week was repentance from dead works. Now just real briefly, I want to go back to that hall of faith in Hebrews just for a couple minutes because I want to show you how faith works. We have an example, a chapter full of this stuff, a Bible full of it, but here's a few examples. Three things that faith involves. It involves belief, action, and receiving. Faith, action, and receiving. It must include that third one. And we're going to see that in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the first three verses there says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith is how we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So by faith, through faith, we understand what? We understand that the world, the age that we live in, was put together. It was orchestrated, it was governed and framed by the Word of God. Points us right to that foundational, the Word, okay? Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, even being dead for thousands of years, he is still speaking about faith toward God, because we're still talking about it. By faith, in other words, Abel did something. By faith, he offered a sacrifice unto God. That was by faith. Okay, his faith and his trust in God led him to stepping out, okay, and producing an act of faith. And God saw that faith. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says, "By faith, Enoch was translated, okay, that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the faith of Enoch, okay, this guy is translated, didn't even have to die. Okay, there's only two guys in the Bible, right? The other one was... Who's the other guy that didn't die? He translated Elijah. Okay. But that faith of Enoch, when you read that he pleased God, okay, now that is even more astounding when you realize that Enoch did not just walk with God for a short time. Okay. Enoch was not a guy, we're not talking about a guy that gave his life to God and then went to synagogue for a couple years. We're talking about a guy, and it says, and I don't have this scripture, Elijah, so don't look for it, but it talks in Genesis chapter 5, it tells us that Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. Okay? He's one of only two people I told you that was translated to God, and that was in part because it said he pleased God. 300 years worth. You talk about a man of faithfulness. That's impressive to me. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, here's another, by faith, Noah, okay, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, he couldn't see it, he moved with fear or reverence and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he also condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Okay, by faith, Noah did something. Okay, because he believed and he trusted in God, he had the evidence of the stars and the moon and the animals. Okay, in his eyes, these were produced by God. This is miraculous stuff. And all that was enough for him. That when God said to build an ark or lay that upon his heart, he put his reverent faith into action and he did what was asked of him, even though it looked pretty silly to others. Okay, he didn't care how foolish it looked to other people. Hebrews 11:8, father of faith, Abraham, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, he just obeyed and he went out, not even knowing where he was going. Okay, not knowing whither he went. His faith leaped into action and it was demonstrated through his obedience. Okay, he didn't have all the details, but he had enough. Okay, his faith had exceeded 51% and the rest was made up in trust in the source. He knew that God was saying to do this, therefore, that's all he needed to know. I don't have all the details. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but God said, that's all I need to know. Okay, I believe, and I believe that something good's going to happen, that I will inherit, but I don't have it all put together yet, but I also trust in the source that told me that these things are going to come to pass. He trusted that God was faithful, and he pressed forward regardless of how it looked in the natural. Hebrews 11:11, Abram's wife, Sarah, said, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Okay, now Sarah shows us that other aspect of faith. Remember I said you have to believe, there should be action, but you also have to receive. Sarah shows that receiving part. She not only believed, but she received. Anybody remember the scripture? I think it's Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. Okay, there's a little qualifier there. Believe and believe that you receive. Okay, Sarah received. If you had at thought of her life, she was trusting God above even her own faithfulness. Okay, if you remember that story, at one time she LOL'd at God, right? She LOL'd, okay, because she did not believe she could have a baby. Okay, but God said that she was going to, and deep down inside of her, she had this deep-rooted faith that said, though it seems impossible, yet I know he who has promised is faithful. Therefore, I believe. and she received strength to conceive seed. Hebrews 11:17. Again, of Abraham, figures if he's a father of faith, he'd get more than one line in this chapter, right? But 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. You remember that story? Okay, he offered his own son. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. In other words, it didn't make sense. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he did receive him in a figure. Abraham was willing to obey God, not because it made sense, but because God said to do it. Therefore, he trusted in God and God's abilities. He knew that God was faithful and that God would come through and do what he said he would do. Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, Isaac did something by faith. Hebrews 11:21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob, at a time when most would be too tired to do much of anything, he gets up on his feet, stood up so that he could bless others. Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, wouldn't be fair to leave him out. When he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Moses' faith altered the way he lived. He didn't just go with what was laid out in front of him. He made a purposeful decision based on his faith toward God to live differently. Hebrews 11:32, I wrap this up. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness they were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, and they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Through faith toward God, they conquered. They lived and walked in righteousness. That's through faith. They received and obtained the promises of God. They believed and received divine protection and provision. And they received supernatural strength when they needed it. Faith toward God is not just something that you say. Faith toward God is something that you do. It is a way that you live. It's like we see the evidence of the wind blowing the leaves across the sidewalk. We also see the proof of our faith in the promises of God as we receive them. Okay? Pray and believe. Okay? And pray and receive. We know that our God is real without ever having laid eyes on Him, simply because our faith in our unseen God proves that God is real. We can have faith toward God, okay, and step out and believe and trust in God. For everything that we lack in faith, we have His trust. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're praising You this morning. Father, I thank You that I pray that You're stirring hearts this morning, Lord, to help us to believe, to not always have to have things figured out, but to really trust that You're who You say You are. You've done what You said You would do. You sent Jesus. You did these things. You empowered us with Your Holy Spirit. And now we're just living it out by faith and trust in You. Father, we trust You this morning. I believe and pray that each one of us, it just understands the power of Your spoken and written word for us. And that we have that to stand on, like Jesus quoting it to the devil and others that have quoted scriptures and seen You powerfully move, because Your word does not return void. Father, we trust in You and thank You for encouraging us in our faith to believe for things we have not yet seen, yet being the key word. Lord, we thank You that as we go forth from here, that we will live faith toward God. We will live as a child of God that truly believes, yields, loves, trusts, and recognizes you in everything that we do. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. Amen.